do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
Why didn't I build in Orlando?
Oh my God, why didn't you just climb into bed with her and ask for a bedtime story? Okay.
Why so serious?
That's why her hair is so big. It's full of secrets.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Why the Flick, a podcast where we watch a new movie each episode and ask ourselves, why the flick did we watch this? I'm Claire.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Alex.
And Alex, what are we talking about today?
Oh, sorry. And today we are talking about the wonderful Robert Zemeckis film, another great 90s tale, Death Becomes Her. The only thing the description says on IMDb is two women vie for a man and the secret of eternal beauty. And that is exactly what happens, in this movie.
Yeah. I feel like you've been on a real like 90s kick lately. Yeah. So this,
I know,
fits right in.
Definitely
90s, definitely not 80s. Like I thought this movie was set in, although movie does span, several years, including the 80s, so it didn't come out in the 80s, but
yeah, I could see you thinking it was an 80s film. I mean, just Bruce Willis wise, maybe, or like the cast.
No, I don't know. I think it's very 90s. Like, I watched it and I was like, maybe it looks 80s. No, it looks 90s to me, even though it's early 90s. So I misread on my phone, and that happens to the best of us sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. But, yeah. I've never seen this film. What about you guys? Prior to this.
Go ahead, Alex.
I realized about like halfway through when they were in the scene with the Isabella Rossellini's character. I can't remember her name, but
Liesl.
Yeah. When they were in that scene with her, the first scene with her, I was like, oh, I've seen this. So yeah, it was kind of, I don't know.
Oh, you had realized while watching it that you had seen it before.
So it's forgettable, is what you're saying.
I guess so.
No.
At least to young me. I think I saw it a long time ago. So
Yeah.
Probably just on TV, like flipping through the channels.
That's fair.
Yeah, this is one I only watched for the first time last year and had never seen it before then. But it stood out to me a lot, and I really liked it when I first watched it. Although, again, there were things that were unforgettable, or not unreal, things that were forgettable to me. Not because they, like, were bad or anything about the movie, just other aspects of the film, like, stood out to me way more in terms of what I remembered. Like, I completely forgot about all the time jumping, and I also forgot about the whole murder plot thing that was going on the side too, because everything else about this movie in terms of like when she goes to Liesl's, when they have their big fight at the end, like those scenes stood out to me way more in terms of being memorable. But I still like this movie a lot.
I
guess I only knew of it as this cult classic that some people were really into, even though I'd never really heard of the film until I was a teenager. So I came into it thinking like, oh, this will be a great underrated movie, and I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I see why it has that cult status. I think there's a lot of stuff out there about it being this movie that's kind of been adopted by a lot of drag queens and things and inspiration for them. So, and I get it, I really get it. It does have that like glamorous kind of biting quality that I think would make it that way. It was a fun time. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I finally got to see it, especially now that it's become a musical that's really popular. I was like, I have to see the movie. So and it's always an honor seeing Meryl Streep.
It is.
Anything.
She's always the amazing. Fantastic.
So classic.
She always does a fabulous job.
And Goldie Hawn next to each other. I'm like, they're giving us the goods.
Yes, indeed. It's interesting. On Drag Race in season 16, they actually did that they had an immunity potion that you had to drink, or if you like won, you'd get an immunity
that's
potion.
So cool.
And when you drank it, RuPaul went bottom
the entire
up.
Season.
Yeah, It was only two people got the potion.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I did. I watched a whole runway that was, I guess, inspired by it. I'm not sure if it was just like
of season seven.
Death
Becomes Her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like death related costume or like
dying and crazy is
the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, apparently. And then there were so many like pictures of photo shoots that people had done, like Jinx Monsoon, maybe. I was just, I was like, wow, this was really popular.
It's really popular in the drag community, for sure. There were so many things about this movie as I was listening, like just like all the everything they say. I was like, wow, I know all of this just by proxy from listening to drag queens say these things.
Yeah.
Like reference this movie and quote it.
Yeah. The cultural impact.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Siempre vive. Yeah. Yeah, like that's one.
Is that now I was a warning one that they
Yeah,
quote.
That's one.
That's a good one.
Now a warning.
Now a warning.
Yeah. I literally said the exact same thing before she did. I was like, a warning. Yeah.
It's a little late for that.
Not fair.
We're on the same level.
Yeah. It's so interesting like how much this movie has really withstand culture because you'd also you'd mentioned like the Broadway musical that came out last year.
Yeah.
There was like that TikTok sound that was like really trendy where it was like someone saying that was rude, that was pretty fucking rude.
Yeah.
I remember that being a big deal on the TikTok. but then also Sabrina Carpenter inspired her music video, Taste. It was inspired by Death Becomes Her. That's the one with where she's with Jenna Ortega.
Okay.
All right, because I literally said while watching it, I was like, this is like Jenna Carpenter. I was like, sorry. I was like, this is like Sabrina Carpenter's music video a little bit. So
yeah.
That's funny.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes
like,
a lot of
sense. I figured it was probably inspired, but maybe more subtly so. But yeah, I think I really thought that. And I also, because at the end of that film or that music video, don't her and Jenna Ortega kiss? At the end
they do in like a dream sequence because they like they do kiss and sequence. Then
okay.
Spoiler alert for the music video, but she realizes that they kiss, she kills Jenna Ortega, but then she realizes it was actually her boyfriend she killed by mistake. So then they're both at the funeral at the end and then they look at each other and they smile. So then you think like, oh, they're gonna get together.
All right, well that tracks, I guess. I was also constantly waiting for the two main characters in this to get together.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was like, love each other. They're right. Definitely like, they're gonna get together.
Right, they're perfect for each other. Did you guys hear about like somebody mentioned already that it got turned into a stage adaptation? But did you hear about like the various like strange things that happened with the stage adaptation? Not like spooky or anything, just like kind of funny. Like, I guess Meryl Streep sent like a note to the person that played Madeline in the stage adaptation and was like, break a leg or I'll break it for you. And I was like,
oh my God,
I don't know how you're supposed to interpret that.
That's so funny.
But, and then also when they got the playbill for opening night of the stage production, everyone's bios were, you know, their own bios. And it got to Megan Hilty's bio, who played Madeline on the stage production. And it was Meryl Streep's career like listed under Megan Hilty's bio.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like just listed all of her accomplishments and like various work and stuff. And I don't know,
like don't you remember when I was in Mamma Mia?
That's literally credited her for Mamma Mia in it.
Yeah
Huh. Was that's that so like funny. Their way of getting back at her?
I don't get it. I'm just
I like that when Meryl sent the note, she was seemingly in character as Madeline. Because
yes,
that would be what
that
she would write.
For her. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, lots that's of so impact. Cool.
Very strange.
Maybe the Broadway girlies just like to have a little bit of fun. I don't know.
No.
I wasn't a theater kid, so you tell us, Danielle.
You wouldn't understand, Claire.
Yeah, I don't get it.
What we're
not
like.
A thespian.
No.
It's a dog eat dog world. On that stage.
Another thing we can compare it to is The Substance, which we reviewed earlier
on. Comparable to The Substance.
Very.
I mean, the first, everything that happens in the beginning, I was like, this is weirdly
takes a lot of
almost beat for beat what happens.
Takes a lot of perceived originality out of the substance. Just a little bit. Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, yeah, yeah. I guess like the original conceit. But they're so, I guess it's so similar in the beginning. And then it, to me, it's so different in the second half of the film.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. They, I mean, they just split so dramatically.
Yes.
But the fact that like she, it's just a story of an aging actress mm-hmm. that wants to be young, and then she gets this card to go to this mysterious location for something that will help her. I was like, wow, no wonder people were comparing it to The Substance. Yeah. But then as soon as you say that, you're like, okay, now this is way different.
If there wasn't a man involved, I think we may have seen more.
Yeah.
You know, but Bruce Willis
had the whole
put his foot in there.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole like girl versus girl thing that was happening though mm-hmm. felt very different to me.
Yes,
like
for
just
sure.
having two distinct characters that were interacting with each other, and they had like this fully formed relationship. Like really their relationship was the most important part of the film.
For sure.
Right.
I guess that to me was like, okay, this is so different right there. And then of course tonally it's very,
oh my
very
God.
Different.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Totally different tone.
The very funny. Like, just Death becomes silliness.
Oh, goofy. So funny. Very camp.
Mm-hmm. So camp.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. Yeah. Death Becomes Her. I was like, that's body comedy and The Substance is body horror.
Yes.
Like,
there we go.
Distinguish the two.
Two sides. Yeah.
The moments of Meryl Streep with her head is like turned all the way around 360. Like that is definitely physical comedy, even though a lot of it was CGI. So but yeah.
Her butt lifting and her boobs lifting. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That part also very Substance though when that happened.
Yeah.
That reminds me of The Substance when she's like looking at herself in the mirror.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's really funny in that scene. I like read this long paragraph about how they like constructed this like, you know, machinery to like lift her boobs and stuff. And then it was just looked too noticeable. So they just had somebody stand behind her and push her boobs together.
Yeah. They had her wardrobe stylist stand behind her and just go boop, boop. Like,
that's wild.
Great.
Yep.
You know, sometimes practical effects work better.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, Meryl Streep said this would be her first and last visual effects, like,
movie.
Which
she hated it so much.
Which proved to be
not
a lie,
true.
I guess.
Yeah, not true.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't
you can't avoid it
in today's Hollywood without having a lot of CGI. But yeah, I was like thinking about that. I was like, okay, well, what has she been in since... That has been. I was like, I feel like Into the Woods was largely CGI.
Mostly like, CGI.
I don't know how much of Into the Woods was real. That movie felt very CGI heavy to me.
Definitely.
So,
yeah.
I think it was used to it.
Yeah, I think it was mostly too because like she had to be CGI'd and maybe in Into the Woods it's more like she's acting around CGI.
Yeah, that's true.
But in this one, like, they had to like put a blue mask covering her head to like this was a film the twisted neck, but they had to put a blue mask covering her head, and then they had to film her in front of a blue screen with only her face showing so they could show her head talking and then splice them together. And she was basically like, it sucked, like it takes all of the like art, I'm paraphrasing, but like art out of acting. I think she is probably is how she felt. She said it was like being at the dentist.
Yes,
that's a direct quote.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not for everyone.
Sad. That's rough.
Yeah,
yeah. It definitely reminds me of the Ian McKellen story when he did he like cry on set because he was like acting with the hobbits, but none of them were there. Like that just makes me so sad.
Oh, that is sad.
Like, have. So sad.
Yeah, I wish we could go back to this world of less CGI, but it's just one of those things where it's like, it's just so much cheaper to make it this other way that there's just no way they'll go back to it.
Yeah,
and
it's too late.
yeah, it's too late.
It
unfortunately,
sucks.
You've opened Pandora's.
But they're all,
box.
Yeah, they're all doing really well though. All the actors
are
doing such a good job with the CGI pretending. Of
and it really was like such a feat in visual effects. at the time, like, this was the first time, not the first time, but like studios weren't doing as much CGI and computer generated effects, but this was really like one of the first movies to do it, and the first movie to, what was it, feature texture of human skin in CGI.
Yeah, I
skin
saw that.
Software.
Thought that was
skin software.
But that makes
I was like,
sense.
What is skin software? I guess I was
thinking of like when Bella had to get her, when they did use CGI or whatever to make Bella look sicker when she was pregnant. I was like, I guess that is skin CGI. So it sounds silly.
Yeah, like, they did have a lot of skin falling off of them. Yeah. So I was like, I guess very that's true. Maybe what they're talking about. But I mean, doing everything with Madeline's like twisted neck and then the hole in Helen's stomach, you're like, okay, yeah, I get what they're going after here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really paved the way for some interesting movies, I guess, probably.
My favorite thing that I learned about this movie is that, so Industrial Light Magic, that was the they were the ones who did all of the visual effects, and basically Death Becomes Her paved the way for us to get the effects that we got in Jurassic Park, because they did Jurassic Park 1 year later. And I was like, okay, I like this a lot more now because I love Jurassic Park. And then I learned that there are like three people associated with this movie who then went on to work on Jurassic Park, including the screenwriter, David Koepp. And I was like, oh my God, I love this so much.
Yeah, the Jurassic Park overlap in the trivia I was reading, I was like, oh wow, there's a lot of like little mentions.
A lot of good nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of things go back to Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. Everything goes back to Jurassic Park. Yeah. You know this.
And we're gonna find it.
Yeah.
And if it's anybody's gonna find the connection, it's gonna be
Oh, it was the hold on to your butts. That was the other thing that was mentioned.
Did somebody say that?
So apparently Robert Zemeckis during filming of Death Becomes Her would say hold on to your butts all the time before they started filming.
Oh my God.
And that's the catchphrase that Samuel L. Jackson has in Jurassic Park.
He sure does.
And they think
screenwriter
David Cope collaborated with Zemeckis and thinks that he took that from Zemeckis.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I see it. We all get our inspiration from the things around us.
Absolutely.
So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to take this nugget and I'm going to store it away for later and use it at the right time. And he used it at the right time. So
I also loved the like different things I was reading about, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like there being various, that was the second or the first movie he had won for like visual effects. Robert Zemeckis. And then Forrest Gump after that. But they also said that, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Jessica Rabbit is kind of, that's who Goldie Hawn is kind of supposed to be in Death Becomes Her.
Oh, okay.
She does wear a lot of
red dress.
Yeah.
Dresses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bombshell type stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way or whatever she said.
So, oh yeah. So Robert Zemeckis, he won Best Visual Effects for Forrest Gump as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to think.
They
what.
Basically they superimposed
a bunch of historical
Tom Hanks into historical,
visuals. Yeah,
like real I historical see. Footage, and that was the first time they'd ever done that. So that is what they got kudos for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Very different. Different things that he did in each one.
For sure.
Too. I find that
totally different.
Like,
avenues.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, very animation heavy, I guess, and like animation in the real life. Mm-hmm. And then we have this, which is very CGI. And then Forrest Gump, more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
I wonder if he got noted, like recognized innovative. For Back to the Future. Anything to do with that?
Yeah. The only thing I saw where it mentioned Back to the Future in the trivia was them saying that the date is the same date.
Yes.
When she drinks the potion, it's like the same date that it was when they went back to the past and Back to the Future.
1985.
Yes.
October 26th?
Yes, I think so.
That feels right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I noticed that too. I was like, I love that.
Yeah.
I found it interesting too that Robert Zemeckis was an executive producer of Tales from the Crypt, because I feel like that feels very...
There was so much about like how this was supposed to be a sequel to like Tales from the Crypt and stuff. And like there were a bunch of people worked on this that worked on Tales from the Crypt. And huge influence on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like it was, I don't know, often referenced as like, this is just kind of like another, like, one of the stories you would have, because that was a TV show, right?
I think so. I didn't watch it. But yeah.
Is that with the Crypt Keeper? That's the only thing I remember, is the weird Crypt Keeper in the beginning.
Yeah, I think he is in Tales from the Crypt. Yeah.
I don't think I ever watched it.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I do know. I've seen, like, him before, and yeah, I think he is. He is the guy, the thing in that.
The Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, I was going into this thinking it was maybe even going to be more like Halloween feeling than it was. Yeah. But
that we're getting a little
to
more
me,
spooky.
Yeah, exactly. But to me, it just felt very, like, goofy and campy, like you said, which not a bad thing. I just I was surprised.
Kind of
going,
like,
into it,
kind of slapstick at some points, where I was just like, okay, this is just very body comedy. You're right, body comedy. Like, what are we seeing?
Yeah, like the thing with the stairs. The stairs are such a gag. The staircases are such a gag in this movie. Someone's always falling down a staircase or about to fall down a staircase. Lots of fun body comedy elements.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think going back to, like, the substance too, and even in the beginning scene, it felt very substancey to me. I got immediate substance vibes, because in the substance, we remember it, like, opens up with, like, looking down on a pavement, and then people are, like, walking across the pavement over time, and then there's, like, the star of Elizabeth, and then it's like people are, like, trash talking her over time, and, like, they're like, oh, she's old news. And that felt very similar to, like, this opening scene, where it's like the playbill, that's Madeline's playbill, and it's, like, in the rain, and the playbill's on the ground, and people are walking around it, and they're walking out of her Broadway show. And I was like, okay, they definitely, I don't know if I can't remember the director's name who did Substance. I don't know if she saw that and was like, clocked that. I'm going to take that and make it my own. But I was immediately like, I was literally like, this isn't like the Substance in terms of tone to you guys. And then I watched the opening. I was like, oh, crap, it really is like the Substance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think there are different, I don't know, I guess this movie felt, whereas the Substance felt very, it had, like, one, not, it had a main lesson to be learned from the entire thing. This one felt a little more confused, maybe. I know it's supposed to be satire, so I know it's supposed to have some sort of commentary on on things, and it does, but I don't know. I guess, you know, I kind of went into it thinking it would be like the Substance, and it would all be about, like, this pursuit of, you know, beauty and youth and how that corrupts, and yeah, it's about that. But I did feel like at the end they were kind of like hammering more this lesson of, like, isn't it, like, isn't living forever, like, actually not a great thing? And it was just more about this, like, more this question of, like, if you could live for, if is living forever actually a good thing, like that big question that, you know, a lot of people think about, especially with, like, the funeral scene where they were just hyping up Ernest and, like, how he like started living his life for,
like, he found the secret to eternal youth or eternal life. It's in his family and friends,
blah blah blah.
I
don't know, I thought the point of this movie was just kind of be careful what you wish for, like, everybody that, like, did something as, like, oh, I wish that, like, I could have this, or, like, it could be this way, everyone got disappointed in, like, some way. So I don't know.
Basically, I just was like, the Substance to me felt more pointed.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, I got more out of it. And this one, I was kind of like, where is it going?
Yeah, this was more, like, just amusement. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I feel like there is a lesson here, but also maybe you were just like, but we have really cool CGI and we have
fun.
We have fun. Yeah.
Look at how fun.
Aren't they funny?
Fun,
guys. Which is good. I think Bruce Willis apparently thought this was like the most fun he'd ever had on set. He would show up like at 5 a.m. But yeah, Robert Zemeckis said he showed up one day and Bruce Willis was there. And he's like, I've been here since 5 a.m. I'm so excited to get started.
Okay.
That's incredible.
I don't need to do that.
Such a different, like, Bruce Willis that I'm used to. Because they're very much like action Willis. Like, that's what I'm used to. And this one, he's like such a slime ball.
Yeah.
And
it's, so he's hard to recognize too.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah. He is hard to recognize. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have, I don't know how long it would have taken me to realize it was him if I hadn't have read the cast list beforehand and be like, oh, Bruce Willis is in this? Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell because obviously I knew it was him from the very beginning, but yeah, he is. I've definitely seen tons of pictures of this film, you know, and I've never known it as a Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
film.
I didn't realize
he was in it. I guess
I didn't realize he was in this, and then it started, and I was like, "That is Bruce Willis." Like, I was like,
"Yeah, he's like,"
and he has a very prominent part.
Yeah,
he's like,
he does. You know?
He's like the third main character.
Yeah.
It's like basically those three: Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. Goldie Hawn, Bruce Willis, mm-hmm. and then you have Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who nailed it.
So good.
I think she did amazing.
Oh my gosh. She was great too.
It was a lot of fun.
But yeah, I mean, they really do, I think, a good job of setting up the Madeline versus Helen of it all from the very beginning. And I do love like how they call each other Mad and Hell throughout the whole movie. Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be
very much encapsulates them.
It's supposed to be like Madeline is mad, Ernest is Earn, and Helen is Hell, and it's supposed to be Matter and Hell. But
I love that.
Yeah, cute.
Matter and Hell.
Is Earn supposed to be like a funeral urn?
Ernie.
Is that the thought behind it?
Ernest.
Matter,
or just
Ernest.
Matter. How did you say it? Matter and Hell.
Matter and Hell.
Like
Matter than Hell. Mm-hmm. Matter and Hell.
But the mm-hmm. it's Matter and Hell.
Yeah.
He's just the joiner.
Yes.
Between the two
words. Oh, I see. Yes. Okay.
Mad Earn Hell.
Yeah. Which makes sense because I just feel like he was, like, this movie was really about them. Like, I was like, they don't care about him.
Yeah.
At all. Like, no. This is nothing to do with him. This is just all their own.
Just fluff.
Like, yeah. This long-standing feud friendship thing that they've had with each other mm-hmm. since they were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. They're frenemies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously we find out later like why, but very much like Madeline steals all of Helen's boyfriends and
classic.
Ernest is one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They Bruce can't Willis? Pass the Madeline Ashton test. Sorry.
Yeah. I was gonna say Bruce Willis also had his own suggestions for the name of the movie. The first one was It's Death, Baby. And the second one was
okay.
My Man Death. So ultimately they went with Death Becomes Her.
I think that's the better.
Yeah,
that is the right title. I just love how he's like, I love this movie so much, let me suggest a different title.
I got some ideas. That's
it's like, okay, Bruce Willis, like, mm-hmm. take it down a notch. We love your enthusiasm, but you know what, good that he was so excited about this movie.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are some really like good funny moments in this movie, even just in the way that it's filmed. Like when they, when he's like talking to Helen, and it's after like he and Madeline have gotten dinner, and he's like, "Don't worry, I don't have any interest in her. I'm not gonna go be with her." And then immediately like hard cuts to them getting married, and the church bells ringing in the distance, and that was a funny moment to me. I didn't like that Helen then became an overweight cat lady.
Yeah.
7 years later, I was like, I don't love a fat suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
it's the 90s, baby.
Yes.
Whatever they wanted in the 90s, though. Yeah. So not surprising, but not fun.
No. No. But it's really
that's why I was like, maybe we needed the time to get to the substance.
Yes.
We needed.
Yeah. It wasn't ready
to evolve more as a culture to get the substance.
No, no,
they were toying with the idea in the 90s, but they weren't that
the way she was watching the scene over and over again of Madeline getting strangled on TV. I was just like, she literally did it until she couldn't anymore, like until they grabbed her.
Yeah,
she was like, I gotta go back to you one more time.
Until like the cops like busted down her door and they were like, you gotta, and she just still, even then she
even
was
then,
like holding that remote,
she was like, let me just as much as I can get. Yeah, this is my medicine.
Yeah. And I love how like the doctor's like, you've got to get Madeline Ashton out of your mind, you've got to eliminate her. And Helen heard eliminate and that was it, and she was like, that's all she needed.
That's exactly
that was
what I gotta
that
do.
Was the key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
Did you have I was going to say, did they explain how Helen met Isabella Rossellini's character? Well, I can't remember her name.
But, I don't think so.
Liesl. No, they didn't explain.
Yeah, I was wondering.
They just, yeah. You just know that she met her, okay. obviously, after she gets up from being shot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess maybe they got one of those business cards or something mysteriously sent to her.
Yeah.
Isabella Rossellini just knows. Mm-hmm. She knows who's in need of her services.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She was giving yeah, very, I was getting, like, you remember the Big Lebowski, Julianne Moore's mm-hmm. character?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's what he still reminds yeah. me of. It's like that.
It's just the hairstyle, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also, doesn't, like, Uma Thurman have that hairstyle in Pulp Fiction?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit,
yeah.
Dark, blunt bob.
Yeah.
Like, why did I have such a chokehold on these characters?
Yeah.
Is the thing. I almost was like, should I wear my black bob wig?
Oh my gosh.
Inspired by her. But I was like,
perfect.
No.
It's versatile.
I could, yeah.
Three different characters that you could use that for.
Yep.
That we've just talked about. I don't even, what did you use it for originally?
Velma.
Oh, okay.
Cute.
There we go.
And now. Liesl. And who's the third? Who did I else kind of I used it before? There was somebody else we
I
did
just
mention.
The Pulp Fiction.
Oh, that one. Pulp. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So there you go.
Well, first and she out. Was
like and Cleopatra. If you
yes,
want to.
That's what I was going to say.
I feel like Liesl, I could work for Cleopatra.
Apparently in like another
Liesl
version.
Was going to be.
Yeah. Yes. You go ahead, Claire.
She was. No, I was going to say, yeah, she was in an early draft. She was supposed to be Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm. Got
so
it.
I think you could still technically, well, although she does say she's 71, so I guess she's not Cleopatra. She'd be a lot
yeah.
older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that they yeah, were like, and inspired. We're keeping the wig.
I love.
We're going to change her character, but we'll use the same wig. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
I just love that she was like, guess my age. And she was like 38. And she was like, no.
And she was so pissed.
She was mad. Yeah. Which I guess Isabella Rossellini was 39 in the filming mm-hmm. of this. So.
Okay, so pretty accurate.
Yeah, which, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. I was thinking about how, like, Demi Moore was, what, 10 years older than the character she was playing in The Substance? And Meryl yeah. Streep and Goldie Hawn are, like, 10 years younger than the characters they're playing in The Substance. At least when they're 50. Like, when they're both supposed to be 50.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl Streep is mm-hmm. 43, I think. And Goldie mm-hmm. Hawn yep. is 42 or something.
Sick. She was 46.
Oh, I thought they said, okay, 46.
Yeah.
I think
you're right.
Yeah. And then Bruce Willis was 36, and I was like,
yeah, that's
oh my
crazy.
God, that's what 36 what? Looks like.
Yeah.
he was so balding earlier, so, you know.
Well, that's fine. You can, that's, no, I'm not shaming balding people.
No.
Yeah. I just like I that never. It can make you look older. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess he wasn't balding.
There
enough,
was a TikTok my sister sent me, and it was literally like, what was going on back then, because people in their 30s looked like they were in their 50s. Like now, like, it's just so weird how now 30 year olds yeah. don't yeah like it's just I don't know what they're they were 50s, drinking back 30. Then
yeah I don't know.
I think it's just the styles and things that they have. They just, you see yeah, them and you automatically sure. associate them with an older person, and so
yeah
it makes you think that they look older than they actually are. Although, yeah, I'm looking at photos of him from Die Hard, and he already did look a lot older. But again, I think it is partially because he is balding. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about balding people. I'm just saying that I think it can make you look a little older than you are if you're
yeah,
balding.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
If you style him,
sure has a perception also. Of older.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering, too, if they, I guess they aged them up to play their older characters then, because I was trying to decide, are they aging them up or are they aging them down? Which one is it?
Yeah,
and it seems like maybe they age them up. I just saw some reviews mm-hmm. that were like, they look worse than they ever have at the beginning of this film, which made me think that they really just like mm-hmm. worked to make them look older
yeah
at the beginning, and then and that's why they were younger than their characters, because they wanted to like reduce them down to the age that they actually were.
Yeah.
Right.
So that could,
because I guess when you meet them, they're supposed to be in their 30s. Is that what they're trying to say? Because it was like 7 years, then another 7 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of time jumping.
Well, that's why Madeline is sleeping the way that she does. She's sleeping with gloves on her hands and a bandage on her face, doing the plasma separation and collagen boost or buff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Desperate. I saw that and I was like, I know she's. Yeah, like I know she's supposed to look ridiculous there, but that is still such a thing now.
So
like,
a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, there was that whole trend, TikTok trend about like the morning shed, which is like people who put all this stuff on their faces and stuff while they're sleeping, you know, for beauty reasons. And then they take it off in the morning and that's the morning shed. They have like their mouth tape and all these crazy things. So when I saw her, I was like, and that's tape, not even, that's. That looks normal compared to the things I've seen online.
Honestly,
people do, that people do. Yeah. And I also thought too, they had that shot when she gets to the plastic surgeon office and there's this like woman on this wheel with blood like flowing.
Yeah.
And I was like, that reminds me of vampire facials.
Oh, so yeah. That's what I thought.
Things that exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, these things, like, we really do this,
put, like,
this. It's not even satire.
Nope.
Yeah, like people put snail mucin on their faces and like weird shit.
Beef
like,
tallow has been a thing recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
It is crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is
the red light masks I've seen. Like I know that those those actually work or whatever, but they do look scary.
They look crazy, but they do something good, I'm sure.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and I think it's fitting too that like Bruce Willis's character Ernest is a plastic surgeon beginning. So then it's very like, which was like, I guess a big boom at the time in the early 90s, plastic surgery was becoming like very big and all the rage. But then he gets downgraded, I guess, to only working on dead people.
I really think it's hilarious that like their whole like ploy throughout this, like halfway through the movie, the only goal is that they get him to drink the potion too, so that he can do plastic surgery on them every day forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they don't care about him. Nope. They just want.
No, he's just a pawn to them in terms of like, they can just use him and be like, that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think all of those beauty standards that they're trying to achieve, like, you understand why Madeline goes to the lengths that she does. She's like, you know what? I will try anything. Now at this point,
yeah.
I mean, and the other piece of this movie too that I think does a little bit of a better job than maybe The Substance does is the like Hollywood elite of it all, where you see like celebrities now and you're like, God, what are they doing to like stay so young looking, and they look like they haven't aged a day. And I think Death Becomes Her leans into the comedy aspect of that more, because like she mentions Greta Garbo took it, which was the whole like the I want to be alone line. I thought that she was first making a reference to Dracula.
Yeah.
Because I was not familiar with the movie, but then I looked it up and it's Greta Garbo. So it was that piece of it. But then also the party at the end has a lot of people, famous people who are implied to have taken the potion.
Yes,
Elvis Presley.
Elvis. I liked how they implied that Elvis had been making appearances to get head.
Yeah, they're like, please stop doing that if you have staged your death. And he's like, I just wanted to go take pictures.
It's like, people love me. Yeah, I thought that was fun seeing how many people were in on it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like a fun existence, though, having to just hide all the time.
I hate to think,
where's the joy in that?
If that potion were real and there were a bunch of people alive today that had taken that potion, I hate to think who those people are. I don't want to know.
Don't interact.
There's some people who shouldn't live forever.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have to go into hiding after 10 years. So actually, maybe that would
10
be
years.
Good for some people.
Right.
10 years and you're out of our hair.
Yeah.
And then what? Like, do you pretend that you're their like,
little...
great granddaughter or something?
Yeah.
And
I was
you just
look,
oh my God, you look so similar.
I was like, how does she do this? Like, I don't know. I don't know. She just changed her hair and her nails. Yeah. And just
maybe. Mm-hmm. Well,
she Basil has this cool castle she could just hang out at.
Yeah, true.
And she follows
with her weird
this
servants.
Her weird servants. Oh my God, what were their names?
Yeah, Tom, Dick, and Harry. She was like, every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, great, is that from this? Life. Or is that, or is, you know, this from that?
Yeah, which one did it first?
Yeah. Apparently it was already an expression. They did that as a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But their outfits were very,
what is
80s?
That?
Yeah.
WWE.
Oh, yeah. That was the
very
that
WWE.
Was the 80s.
Very WWE.
Yeah. It was very manservant.
Strange.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She also had quite the outfit on herself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The jewelry.
The jewels. The jewel necklace.
Pretty cool, wow. though. Not going to lie.
Yeah. That was.
It was cool.
That was a sleigh outfit.
It was.
I like that she didn't. She wore it again later. I was like, yeah, you would because it's that good.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's like, I
it really was.
No one.
She had a fabulous sense of decor with that castle and a perfect sense of style. Like,
she was gorgeous.
And she was also like, I follow the spring. I haven't seen an autumn and winter in years. And I was like, that's my kind of girl. Like,
yeah, I was
I
like, I think
I
she just lives
same.
In LA, but that could be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could see that. Yeah, I'm wondering who had this business before her, unless she was the one that invented it. Because she's only 70 years old. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
is she the inventor, or did she take it over from someone?
What this potion is and where she got it.
Yeah.
And similar to like the substance, you don't know where the substance came from.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's
true.
It's just there.
It's true. Just available. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
But yeah. It was really quite terrible that she didn't warn poor Madeline. Like we said about the side effects.
Oh, yeah.
So she was like, now a warning. And she all and the only warning was just take care of yourself and your body.
Not a good
and
enough.
And I was like,
warning.
That's nothing.
Not a
that
reason.
Doesn't
why.
Explain,
not
that
a
doesn't
good
explain.
Enough warning.
Like, you're dead. Like, and you need to preserve yourself in this state. And your body is very susceptible to tarnish now at this point.
Well, I was like, what is Liesl doing to preserve herself? Like, is she just bathing in formaldehyde every night? Like, what is
that's
she
what that pool
I
is
I was
with.
Wondering if like you're good until you do something that would kill you. I don't
that's
know
what I was wondering too. I was like, I feel like, okay, so you're de-aged until you actually die. Once you actually die, you're still kind of de-aged, but you're also dead, so it's like a monkey's paw pet cemetery situation.
I thought that might be the case.
Because
everyone else at the party looked great. So
yeah.
I was like, maybe it's just them.
Yeah.
And I was like,
also,
you guys, you couldn't last one day. Not even 24 hours.
Yeah, she
killed herself immediately.
Madeline just immediately. She was like, suck it. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Falling down the stairs. That was a crazy fall. All those bones broken.
That was.
Oh, so many rolls.
And the shot.
It felt like hot
like
rod a little bit.
Down
I was
the
like,
stairs.
Just keep on going.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like the stairs aren't that long, but you know.
Whatever. They just keep going and going and going. Yeah. And then she just like a crumpled thing at the bottom where like legs are bent all sorts and like her arms like over her head in a weird way. But yeah, I'm surprised like not more people, like Liesl's not experienced more people who've had gone through this. Like, is it, accidents happen and nobody's perfect. It just feels like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. This can't be the first time this has happened.
No, it can't
not.
Be.
I feel like they should also provide a service where they like provide free spray painting.
Some sort
them,
of salon,
you know?
Grooming station.
Yeah.
That would be great.
These potion drinkers.
Yeah, it should be like a club where you just, you're all there together with all your immortal friends.
Right. They already have the elite parties. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't they just do touch-ups and, you know, provide that kind of service?
Yeah, create more jobs for Americans with these kinds of programs. But yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Instead,
I really want to know how much the check was too.
$1 million.
How much did they pay for it?
One.
Oh, was that it? Okay.
Dollars. Yeah.
I didn't follow.
That was going to be one of my deflects, and I was like, I bet it was like $500 million because Madeline like got it. She was like, oh nope, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And she's a actress who lives in a really nice house in L.A. Like I was like, felt like she could afford at least $1 million, but I guess not.
I mean, 1992. I don't know. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
A million used There's to be that. Way more money than it is now. But
yeah. I know.
Yeah.
And also, right. like, if your net worth money. Is, like, I don't know, $5 million or whatever, that's yeah. 1/5 of your money gone. Like, for that's real. A lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
But especially if you're going to live forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you live forever. You can accumulate all of that wealth just like the Cullens did in Twilight.
Yeah. Mm. Investments, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Get a really good financial advisor. Then you're good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Someone who, won't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And won't, you know.
Maybe one of, yeah.
Won't have an issue with any of your
immortal people
accounts. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think if we want to talk about the murder plot a little bit more, this is one to me where I was like, I forgot this entire thing was going to go down. Like, and to Helen's credit, like, she was really trying to plan it very meticulously and put all the pieces together and play Madeline and play Ernest. But unfortunately, I think she put a little too much faith in poor Menville, and she really pushed him over the edge. She was like, wow, you're actually right. I am getting pushed around too much and I won't stand for this anymore. And completely like let things fly out, the whole plan fly out the window. Not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to push her down the stairs.
It gave me like Yzma and Kronk kind of energy of like, just like,
yes,
she was so excited about this plan. She had it all figured out. And then like, she's like, he just fucks it up like instantly.
Yeah. Royally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a little disappointed. I don't know when he gets this redemption arc at the end. Cause I was like, he tried to murder his wife.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like that's pretty bad.
Just go have an affair.
His happy ending.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nobody knew about that though.
People.
And also like left Helen first at the very beginning, left her for Madeline, then cheated on Madeline
with Helen,
then tried to kill Madeline.
Did kill her.
Did.
Not attempted murder. He murdered her. Yeah.
He did. He did do that. So yeah, I was very much like.
Confirmed by Sidney Pollock. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Is that the doctor?
Yeah.
When the doctor was like dead from a heart attack,
yeah,
I thought
that was hilarious. Like, I was like, okay, that was great. Just like,
he's like, where's the doctor? And the doctor died.
Yeah, he's in a code. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just coding on the table.
I also love the hospital scene just for the fact that it gave us one of the best lines, which was from Ernest when they take Madeline to the morgue because they think she's dead because she had passed out and she's got no pulse or temperature, so you know it's an easy mistake to make, but he goes, the morgue, she'll be furious. I think it's like the best line of the movie.
That was so
funny. Then the sign pointing to the morgue.
Know and the weird those. The nurses or not the nurses
the
it
nuns.
Was the nuns floating down
lighting
like, the hallway very
floating.
That was spooky.
I was really confused. That scene confused me because at first second I was like, wait, is he the only one that can see her? Is he starting to see dead people? Because I was like, was the doctor actually dead? Or
is this a sequel to
Nuns Dead?
A prequel.
Obviously that turned out not to be the case, but I was a little confused. I was like, what?
Yeah. Very funny. Yeah, apparently there's some deleted scene that explains the nuns gliding down the hallway away from. I don't know what it was, but there is some.
They're
sort of
just
scene.
On those, what are they called? The little like hoverboard
Heelys.
Things.
Heelys.
Okay. Oh, Heelys, I like that too.
You can't tell underneath the habits.
Yeah. No.
You know?
Let her roll.
It makes them feel more godly, more close to God, because they're walking unnaturally.
Wheeliness is close to godliness. Yeah. That's what I've always heard.
Wheeliness is close to godliness. Mm, it sure is.
Yep.
There were a lot of things that got taken out of this film and changed that I was surprised by. They really toyed with it a lot.
Tracy
Ullman
is like not in the movie at all, apparently, and I guess had like several scenes as a character called Tony, but they just remove Tracy.
That was who he remarries. Right?
Like
that was
ending.
The original ending was supposed to be him meeting another woman and then
another
they
one.
Run into him
another
with
one?
His new wife. Another wife.
Just endless women.
We already had two.
Yeah. You get two.
Yeah.
That's it.
I did hate when they were like, and he is survived by his wife, Claire. And I was like, hate that so much. Yeah. Leave my name out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's kind of funny they didn't even keep the name Tony. I feel like that's disrespectful. Yeah, but whatever. Yeah, it is interesting to me when they, I mean, I guess they showed it to test audiences and the test audiences didn't like it. And then also the director thought that the original ending was too happy. But yeah, I guess I'm just surprised at how willing studios are to change films completely, the ending of all things. That's what, just because of what people think. It's just interesting to me that that's just a lot.
Wasn't the ending also like they drove off a cliff? Like Madeline and Helen. And I was like, that's a great ending.
I don't know.
Great Thelma and Louise. Just let that happen.
Yeah, Thelma and Louise callback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like them.
I don't know. I read was they are miserable, which is pretty also like true to the real ending that they gave. I guess it was kind of like,
how was that different than the ending that actually happened? It seems pretty comparable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You like know, Ernest still gets a happy else. Ending.
Yeah.
They are miserable and together.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference? I don't know. Maybe it was just a more, they made it more fun at the end. I did like the way they fall, you know, down the steps and break into a bunch of pieces. Like, that's a fun ending. Yep. So.
Ah, look at them.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way they look when they like pull up their like their veils and they're all like modeled.
Okay,
and
this is also something that drag queens say all the time. They're like, "Mama, I'm slapping that acrylic number 9 on my face." And I'm just like, "Oh, that's from Death Becomes Her."
Acrylic
paint on their skin. 9. To, like, yeah, because it's full coverage. Like, you know,
I love what they look like crepe paper that's just been like left out in the sun too long to dry. It also feels like we'll paint each other's asses is something like it feels like drag queens would say to each other too.
Very.
Yeah. The way they walk at the end was interesting too. I was like, what is that?
They're so rigid and stiff. Or at least Helen is. Mm-hmm. Something happened to her.
Helen was recently injured, I think. She was like, my legs don't work right now.
Yeah.
Working on it. Yeah. Working on bringing it back.
I was going to ask you,
sorry to talk about the ending first.
I was going to ask you, like, at what point did you even, like, suspect that Helen had taken the potion at any point before she got up after being shot?
Yeah, I think so. I think I suspected it probably from the moment that they saw her and she was looking so beautiful. I mean, I guess, like, she hadn't taken it at that point. But, like, as soon as, like, we get, like, the reveal of that there's this potion and it makes you look really young, I was like, well, surely Helen took it because... just out of nowhere she's like back on the scene and gorgeous and like I don't know
writing a book
like,
about youth
it's gotta be she's gotta have taken it so I think it was pretty quickly was still I was just like waiting when she got shot. I was like, okay, any second now she's gonna come back
she's
alive
gonna stand
like
up.
Surely and then of course there's like maybe the little bit of the spoiler where she has a big hole in her stomach on the cover of the movie.
I guess that is a bit of a spoiler.
That's true. I never thought about that. Didn't even realize that it is.
The hole is
That was another gag. Like they were using that as a gag when like Madeline throws the shovel handle through her and she goes and then when Helen sits down on the couch
apparently
and, like it just comes through her.
Oh, that's funny. I guess she sat on the shovel like the wrong way, so it wasn't the way that they expected her to, so they had to like really cram last minute to like get the CGI correct with the shovel to make it look like it was coming out the right end. And I guess Meryl Streep gave Goldie Hawn a scar with the shovel in that scene.
I'd believe it. They were battling pretty rough with those shovels.
The things I read about in the trivia of this movie, like everything about Meryl Streep, I was just like, she's a little sassy. Like I was like, she's a little like spitfire, feel like. Didn't expect that from Meryl.
Yeah, she gives off more of this, you know, I guess we're used to thinking of her as this very poised,
classy and
serious
elegant
actress.
She's got
some fire in her,
you know.
Maybe
she's going
to her true self.
She's going full method for the role.
Yeah,
she was becoming Madeline. Mm.
Just a biot.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
both start with the letter M.
They do.
Madeline, Meryl. There's something there.
Correct.
Something there.
Yeah, I did just love the scenes of them fighting, though. I think that was really fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. That was perfect good when they stuff. Got to hash out their aggression toward each other with shovels. I was like, did you ever expect that this would end with two women fighting with shovels?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have predicted, but I love it.
Honestly, great weapon. Love that shovel.
It is a great weapon.
Yeah. So if she actually hurt, she hurt Goldie Hawn with the shovel, I wonder if like how real these shovels were. Like,
yeah,
were they legit shovels?
Or I don't know. They were just
prop.
Yeah, maybe plastic with a bit of an edge. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you do get to the root of the issue here, because I think this whole time you're like, oh, it's Madeline who's just like so vain and competing against Helen and steals all of Helen's boyfriends. But then it's really like due in part to Madeline getting back at Helen for calling her cheap behind her back. So really just like
they're all a lot of screwed
hate.
Yeah, they're all screwed in this storyline. Like Madeline. Yeah.
Nobody's good.
Madeline sucks.
Nobody's perfect.
Helen sucks. Mm-hmm. Ernest sucks. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of flaws.
But I do love that Madeline really and Helen are like, oh my gosh, we're besties now. Like we're great. We're good. We've hashed out our differences.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, true to their form, they still squabble a whole bunch. So
for sure.
Yeah. They're forced. They're like the odd couple.
They're a forced family. So, you know, they're all each other has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe unfortunately,
they love each other deep down.
I think they do. I think deep down behind all of the resentment, there's love there.
Yeah.
They'd kill for each other. And they do almost kill because they're like, they almost are. Well, I guess they don't really want Ernest to die, but they want to take away his mortality to stay with them forever.
Yeah, they really, the coercion, you know, they knock him out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he's in a vulnerable state. He wakes up in this mansion and a beautiful woman is talking to him and he almost takes it. He does.
There's like so many times where they almost get him, but then they keep talking and I'm like, just stop talking. Because Liesl does that where she's like, you'll live forever or something. And that's what makes him not take the potion. He's like, I don't want to live forever. And it was the same when Madeline and Helen were trying to rescue him while he was hanging from the pipe or the gutter. They're like, we need you. And he was like, okay, I'll just die. Like,
he's like, I'd rather die than be your personal plastic surgeon of the dead for eternity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then luckily, then he's able to survive a whatever 500-foot fall into a pool, which seems unlikely, but
right.
he hits
glass and then hits the pool. I think I think he'd still be dead.
I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows?
That pool was really deep.
Yeah, he didn't really even pass out. He was just in the water, like, whoa, no, okay, I'm good. Let me get out. Like,
not a single broken bone.
Just fine
climbing out.
Yeah. Interesting that they were like, I guess he just gets away scot-free, even though he knows the secret. But I guess they also are like, no one's gonna believe him that there's this like group of Hollywood elite that are undead living.
I thought it was funny that they mentioned it at his funeral. Like, everyone heard his crazy ideas about
his
Beverly Hills about undead. The Hollywood.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills undead. It's good.
That is great. Yeah, I did. I guess even though I didn't like Ernest, I'm not sure, if the lesson should be that we should just wipe away his sins of killing his wife.
No.
I do like the idea of, like, at any point you can turn around your life and redeem yourself. I'm like, okay, that is a nice little lesson.
It's true, you
know? Maybe. Yeah. And he was, he struggled with alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
So that can be really tough.
Yeah.
Like, you can definitely change your life a lot when you're not, when you're not drinking. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe, with that was really, this is his, like, he was just holding him back from his true self of being a great,
for sure,
great husband who likes to.
It would have been nice to get Summit Mountains or like part two where it goes over that like 37 year period between.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, what the Madeline and Helen are doing.
Yeah, and what Ernest,
yeah, what like they get up to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's climbing Mount Everest, it looks like. He's an avid outdoorsman.
Yeah.
And founded all of these really great organizations for women and alcohol abuse. So yeah. You know?
The fact that it's for women, I guess you gotta atone for your sins.
I guess
yes. One of them.
Perhaps that's why. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, but I was like, you had kids pretty. I mean, should you be having kids that late? I don't know. Morally, there's something to. There's some questions about that as well. You know.
Yeah, and they're like, we don't know much about his life before. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old was he. What'd they say? They were just like, it's 50s. A vague area. I guess he didn't feel like sharing that part of his life.
Yeah,
with
like
his family.
That is questionable. Like.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on the lam or something, like,
right? Well, yeah. I guess they're still alive, so can't get him for that.
Yeah, no.
Well, I guess I was also wondering, like, I don't know, there was this whole plot point where he's like, I don't want to get divorced because we live in California, which I guess is an alimony thing.
I guess I was trying to figure that out too, like they favor women or something.
I guess I was like, but surely they're both independently wealthy, okay. So should that really be a problem? Like, he's a famous, you know, mortician plastic surgeon thing, mm-hmm. but you know, Meryl's had a long career, you know, maybe it's tapering off, but yeah. She's done a lot in her time.
Come on. Oh my god,
I don't know.
That
give her some credit
me.
She can live on her own.
Yeah,
but knowing this character, Madeline, she would probably come after him for everything, you know, like
the
type just of lady vindictive. She is.
Yeah,
that reminded me of the part when Madeline's like, you won't survive in jail, you're a soft, bald, overweight Republican, and I was like, that tracks.
I was like,
so
get
much
him, girl.
Yeah,
yeah,
read him for filth.
Got him. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that, except I was like, overweight.
Yeah,
what are our standards here?
Oh yeah,
90 standards, man. I was like, what the?
I know. And also poor, he can't help his baldness, it's genetic.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but the Republican thing, you can't help.
Yeah,
yeah, you can't control that. That's on you
can stop that.
Maybe he turned he you know, became independent or liberal after this.
Yeah,
you can say.
Just a liberty.
He changed a lot,
changed
you know.
Him. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He changed a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, there was I was reading a critique. One critique of Death Becomes Her is the way that it centers. I don't know if it necessarily centers the story around Ernest, because I think each of them gets a little bit centered around each of them, and I think it's mostly like Madeline and Helen.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that like Ernest becomes the moral center and gets the most fulfilling arc after all the shit that he's done, that's
irritating.
Doesn't feel like great at the end. And then it's like Madeline and Helen are just kind of left at the end being another comedy bit where they fall down the stairs and burst into a million pieces. And it's like, oh, okay, that's their life now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess if you look at it from the lens of like, they don't really care. It's always been just about them. You could think of it that way as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just kind of like there in their games with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just a pawn.
Just a tool.
It did make me wonder if I was like, what are they going to do now? And has this happened before? Because I know it's just like a way to end the movie with a final punchline, but it was just the fact that Helen's like, where'd we park the car? And that was like,
how are you going to get to the car? Yeah. It's.
So I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, do they.
Does someone walk by and put them back together? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Someone's going to see that and be like, what?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
There's a situation where they become like the substance lady and they just get washed away with the rain. Someone just sweeps them up into a dustpan.
Yep. Oh my gosh, it does end very much like the substance.
Yeah.
Where it's like at the end.
That's true.
Wow.
You're just falling apart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They did very much look like clowns. Like when they lifted the, I loved how they were covered by the black veil and then they lifted it. And I was like, they look like the woman from Weapons.
Oh Gladys. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Anything else about this movie to bring up before we go to segments?
I don't have anything.
Me neither.
I don't think I do either. Okay, segments. Well, you guys already said my one, which was how to flick much do we think was written on that piece of paper. But I was also like, why what the flick was up with Chagall was the one who gave Madeline the piece of paper. And I was like, what was up with his twitchy eye? I don't know why he had
that.
I assume he took the potion.
I assume.
Because he was at the party.
Yeah, I assume.
So maybe it's a side effect.
Yeah, just a part of that. Mind if flick was...
making him look creepy?
Oh, yeah. Maybe just supposed to be a...
Oh, unsettling.
Yeah, just make you feel weird.
Something's not right about him.
Yeah.
He's got a twitchy eye.
Can't trust that eye. Yeah. I don't know. Mind of flick was what the flick is up with the weird naked lady in the potion bottle? Did you see that? There's like a scene where like they turn the potion bottle and for just like a second you see just like a naked woman inside of the potion bottle.
What?
And I was just like, what's going on?
You know? apparently they just had the budget to do random stuff like that. They're like, this guy's gonna get an interesting eye, and then we're putting a naked lady in the bottle.
Just one little flash of a naked lady in the bottle.
They're like, this adds something. I don't know what, but
like looking at this,
we have to have it.
Yeah. And on this Reddit thread, someone's like, a woman's figure can briefly be seen in the vial of the potion that Madeline drinks. And I'm like, I guess. I don't know.
So weird.
It's up for interpretation, I'm sure.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah. Where you, yeah.
But I didn't really have one. Pink color.
But now that I'm looking at like the, I don't know what it's called, like the poster art for this film, I'm like, why do flick is Madeline wearing red and Goldie and Helen's wearing white? Because throughout the whole film, Madeline was the one in white and Helen was the one in red.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like very much a theme throughout the film. So I'm like, why did they switch it on the poster? That's weird.
That is weird.
Continuity is
wrong.
I don't get it.
Just wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah. It's just wrong. I assumed Helen was wearing red because she has red hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was wearing red. She had the red dress. And
yes. Yeah. In the film.
Then,
but on like the, And I assumed she was wearing red throughout the film because she has red hair and they were like, red.
Yeah.
But
maybe they were like, maybe that's why they switched it up for the poster. They were like, we can't have red on red.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Too much red. And then white
also,
on white.
Also, how deflected they get her eyes look so creepy when she was gray.
The eyes.
I was like, whoa. Those are insane.
Those are great like, contact lenses.
I guess so. I was like, damn, this is didn't realize your eyes were
another one. What did like do you think Ernest used to fill up the hole in her stomach? Was it I was like,
oh yeah,
is it cement?
That's a good one.
I don't know.
Paper mache,
glue,
maybe.
Glue.
Maybe.
Yeah,
that's glue.
A tough one. Yeah, what would fit really well in there?
Yeah.
Like a popcorn bucket or like...
Ooh, yeah, 5-gallon bucket. You cut it out. And,
Because it looks solid. I mean, she had that really great outfit on afterward. And she was like, Ernest did a great job. I'm like, what did he use?
It's got to be silicone or something, you know? Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He is a plastic surgeon.
He really is. So.
Yeah. He is. I love when he's given the speech about spray paint, because he's talking to that one woman and she's like, I don't know what you did, but you made her look so great. What did you do? And he's like, it's spray paint because makeup can't go on well. And then he goes into his little on speech and horrifies the poor woman and she runs away. And then he buys spray paint later.
Why do we care that it's spray paint? I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
only so that you can see why we're using the spray paint later for spraying
your
body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, this lady's too freaked out. I was like, come on, like, whatever works, I guess. You want to know the secret. Like, obviously,
don't ask questions
different.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
I have a similar outfit question because I'm looking at the poster where it's, I'm guessing Liesl holding the potion. And she's wearing a purple outfit, and her outfit was not purple. No. When she yeah, wore where, that
where is
end.
Her fun necklace? White.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fun where iconic necklace. Fun we need that in here. Yeah.
Give us the necklace top.
Yes.
Also, I feel like I know the answer to this, but maybe just a comment. Why do Flick... Were there so much butt nudity in this film?
Like, a lot of body
like,
doubles.
We're yeah, going to have, movie. Yeah, they're like, I guess it was just like because they can't show their ass because that might like up their ratings. So they're like, but what we can do is show a lot of butts. So we yeah, are going to do that.
It's fair game.
Yeah. So let's, everybody that can possibly, except for Goldie Hawn.
Whose butt was that? It was just, was it Liesl and who else? Anyone else?
Meryl Streep.
We see okay. like the girl that, like that guy is. That younger guy that Madeline is seeing, his girlfriend, oh, yeah. We see a glimpse of hers.
Oh,
and then
right.
we see Meryl's when she's on like the...
He's painting her.
You know, she's getting when spray he's painting painted. Her. And right. then we see Liesl's. So yeah. I was like, wow, a lot of representation here.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
So I want to know, this is... Okay, I'm just remembering things so much now talking yeah. about this.
We're on
but
the subject.
Like, yeah, now that we're here.
Let's keep on going.
What the flick was up with the uniforms at the salon that she went to? Like oh, the woman
yeah.
who had a very like skimpy nurse outfit. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's just to like yeah. add to the you're young 23-year-old
yeah.
Point. But yeah, it was like very interesting.
I think it was pretty sketchy business. So. Like, yeah, I was reading the trivia. Yeah,
it was a weird things,
and it said that like, you know, when she goes back into the back room and the dude is back there, she turns around and her accent is gone. Just supposed to like indicate that like it's a fraud business, like
mm-hmm.
so you know.
Mm.
Oh, Mr. Chagall.
Yeah,
they do prey on people. Those mm-hmm. plastic surgeons yeah. and like the beauty industry, oh, like yeah. they'll say like this is like. 100% safe thing that we're doing, and there's just like so many I think like
risks.
Unintended yeah. consequences and risks and things like that like down the line yeah. that they're not telling you about. It is kind of, it can get a little scammy.
Yeah, so. For sure.
I did think I it was like funny that whenever she was like, I'm doing the plasma thing, and she's like, you shouldn't do it, and
more than
she said
like
it should
months.
Be like more like 6 months or something.
Yeah,
and she's like, oh, it's been about that long, and she's like, it's literally been 3 weeks.
She was like, you had it 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yes, too too. it is a scary situation to be in, especially I think that's why yeah. this to me this movie hits on the Hollywood pressure so much more, because you mm-hmm. are trying. I think Substance did it well too, obviously, because you know in that she's an aerobics teacher on camera, being on camera, is told she's getting fired, all of that. But this one too, like, I think it's more involved with like the desire for so many people in Hollywood to like maintain their beauty standards. Otherwise yeah. you're mm-hmm. out the door.
Mm-hmm.
You're irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. True dat. All right.
Moving on to Dig of the Flick, I think there's enough to go around, I think, for a lot of the characters Hard here, but pick. Ernest is for yeah. sure top of my list.
Ernest is rough. Madeline's rough. Helen's rough.
Helen.
Liesl's not great.
And Liesl yeah. for not giving a better warning.
Honestly, I would say Liesl's the biggest dick of the flick, because she is just handing out immortality left and right. Like... Mm-hmm. That is not cool.
And not warning people the consequences
until after. Yeah. What the hell? Like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Again, now? I'm innocent to the plastic surgery industry. So
yeah, it's like dealing a dangerous true. Drug. You know.
Yeah.
Not, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Get you but hooked. I love her outfit. I can't.
I love her outfit.
But,
the little weird.
Yeah.
Love how she walked out of the pool with heels on and then put like a robe
oh
dress
God.
On. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was, for me, I was so set on not liking Ernest throughout the entire film that when he gets this like redemption arc at the end and is like seen as like the voice of reason, I was like so shocked by it. Yeah. So yeah. I guess just like pure on vibes, I was very anti-Ernest. Yeah. So I guess he's my personal yeah. dick of the flick. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
But yeah, everyone's bad. Yeah. Everyone's terrible.
Yeah, everybody has a yeah. moment.
And he is the only one that learns a lesson, I guess.
I guess.
I wish it wasn't him, but yeah. He does learn the lesson. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how many flicks do we give? Danielle, give us the critical reception. How did they like this video? Yeah. I know they liked the visual effects.
They did, but I feel like it got a lot of criticism about being like all style over substance. Yeah, it just was not very well received when it came out. And I do think it was a bit of a flop as well. It didn't do super well. I think it's like kind of done better as time has gone on. Another one of those cult classics. So the ratings kind of reflect that. 6.7 on IMDb. A 58% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 62% audience score. Critics' consensus, Han and Streep are as fabulous as Death Becomes Her's innovative special effects. Zemeckis' satire, on the other hand, is as hollow as the world it mocks. Mm.
Ouch. Yeah.
Ouch. I thought they were going to say as hollow as the hole in her stomach.
Yeah. I do like that Han and Streep got kudos, though. Mm-hmm.
They really yeah, because they were great. Well. They were so fun to watch in this movie. They were excellent.
Yeah. The dialogue wasn't deep, but they did a great job with it. Yeah, I saw that Roger Ebert like gave it a thumbs down, said that it was all special effects, no substance. I was like, that's...
But it won an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects. So...
And apparently, it did win that. I forgot to mention that. And I guess we had already talked about it. But I mean, I guess like the cultural impact this has had in the drag community, the contributions of this movie to the drag community is
classic
enough for it to, to be important
every,
in my book.
Yes. It seems every other movie we do now is a gay cult classic of some sort. But
I know.
Yeah, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay with that.
Yeah.
Love that.
We're okay with that. I do. I don't think that's going to be the next one. So.
No, probably not.
Luckily.
It's definitely had staying power. Mm-hmm. And like that's what a cult classic is. It like gets more beloved over time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's popular even as of last year with like we just mentioned the Broadway show and Sabrina Carpenter. I mean, and who knows? It'll last as long as Madeline and Helen. Seemingly.
The cultural cachet keeps on going up. That's good.
So I'm glad. I'm glad that it's sticking around because it is fun. It is a fun movie.
It's
and
goofy.
Not every movie has to be like deep, and that's why we have The Substance.
Yeah.
If you want that, you can watch The Substance and get that piece of it out of that film. But for this film, if you just want to have fun and watch a campy movie and watch Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn crush it on screen, like this is for people who want that too. Well, I guess I can go ahead and give my rating since I went on a spiel a little bit there. But I'm going to give it a solid 4.5 out of 5. And I gave it this score initially. And then I was like, well, I know I logged it on Letterboxd last year, so let me like go look at what I gave it on Letterboxd. And that's also what I gave it on Letterboxd. So I still feel like it's a 4.5 out of 5. And I also, I wrote a little review. I wrote the evil girl bosses be girl bossin. And I do feel like they're girl bossin throughout the movie. Yeah, it's just, like I said, fun movie. I think the visual effects, I'm sure they were like all the rage in the early 90s. They're a little goofy now, but it leans into like the camp of it all, which I love, and the comedy hits for me. The one-liners are so good. It's just a fun one to watch again and again.
I agree. I would give it I feel like I gotta agree with 4.5. That's probably where I would land with it too. So I'm gonna say the same thing, Claire. Because I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like a movie that has like I feel like I would like to watch this movie again. At another around Halloween time or just around like I don't know, for like a group event or something, like having a group of people around.
It'd be a fun group movie.
Yeah, it'd be a fun like board game movie to have on. But yeah, so I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun to watch. Just goofy. I loved the levity of it. So yeah. I'll watch it again, definitely.
I guess this is a film that I had pretty high expectations for because I know it is really beloved, and I guess I was going into it thinking I'd like it a lot more than I did, and I just kind of left it being like, oh, that was like a fine watch to do one time. Like, I don't know, I just don't have any, I don't feel compelled to see it again. Probably won't think about it too much after watching it. It just I think it just felt a little confused at times, and I guess like how the Rotten Tomatoes score said, like a little hollow. I feel like there was just something missing for me. But I do appreciate it for the performances, because I thought Meryl especially is killing it, considering, I don't know, just everything on her facial expressions were fantastic throughout the film. And it has like that fun, like campy 90s thing. I like the potion and that sort of thing. So it has like fun moments, and I think it's a fun movie. I wasn't like laughing out loud though while watching it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't just like sides hurting. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is so, so funny.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I guess just like on my personal enjoyment level, I'll rate it a 3.9.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
And I think it's like, it's just one of those movies where it's an important, I think, movie to watch in our culture, just so you can be aware of its like cultural impact and like see where things have come from this movie. But yeah, it's, I think it's a fine movie. It's just, it's a fun one to watch, and everybody gets something different out of it.
I just really enjoyed getting so much like, oh, that's what that's from. Oh, that's what that's from, the whole way through the movie.
That was cool.
I was like, oh. This is what everyone's referencing all the time. It's this movie.
I just love that we started this season with The Substance, and now we get to
full circle.
Like, because we're nearing the end of season 5, and just now that we get to like watch this one after we watch The Substance, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so much more informed about The Substance now. Even though I obviously watched Death Becomes Her first before The Substance, but I just kind of forgot what the parallels were, so it was fun to rewatch them and point things out and be like, oh my gosh, I clocked that. So yeah, it's like, it would be a good double feature,
Sure,
to do these two movies together. So you can get the deep meaning message of The Substance and then get the like fun laughs from Death Becomes Her. Cool. Well, that closes us out for Death Becomes Her. And we are not keeping the laughs going.
No.
Although I have not watched this movie, so I can't say. Alex, are you the only one who's watched this movie?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
because
so.
I haven't seen it. You haven't.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but all I know is it's sad, but it has wintry vibes, which is why I put it on the list of our suggestions to watch, because I was like, we're getting into December, guys.
But like, and depression vibes.
Yeah, so seasonal depression's kicking in, so why don't we just like watch a depressing movie, get cozy while we cry. But the movie that we're going to be talking about is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which sounds like an actually happy title now that I am thinking like Eternal Sunshine. But I guess there's a metaphor in there somewhere about it. I'm sure I'll learn. But I do love Jim Carrey, and I do love Kate
Winslet.
Winslet, thank you. God, I'm so sorry.
There's a lot of Kates.
I was like literally going through every other Kate. I was like, Kate Hudson, Kate Blanchett. Nope. It's Kate Winslet. That's going to be our next movie. I'm excited, question mark. Alex, you were like, this is a fun one. And we were like, oh, I don't know about fun.
Yeah,
it's not
I was,
fun
you
like
know,
Death Becomes Her.
I was definitely speaking generally and not like I just speaking very loosely. Didn't mean that at all. It's not fun. It's not gonna be
sorry. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus. I was just
but you're right. I did say that. And when I said it, I was like, well, no, never mind. Shouldn't
no. Actually no.
Shouldn't say that.
So I'm excited. I have really wanted to watch this movie for a very, very long time. It just like has never felt like the right time.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry, I just hit my mic. But yeah, I'm excited to find I'm semi-excited to finally get to watch this movie because I feel like this movie gets brought up in conversation so much in cinema. Now I can finally be part of the conversation and be like, I know what people are talking about now.
Yeah, I have really avoided watching this film because I just didn't think I was mentally ready for it. So hopefully I'm in a good space when I see it. I have been wanting to. I've been like, I know I'm going to like appreciate this movie, but I was like, I just don't. No, I avoided watching Past Lives for the same reason. So so just some things hit deep. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, we'll see. Yeah.
Nah, you can you'll handle it. Be all right.
I think I can handle it.
I'm gonna cozy up with a blanket, get a cup of hot cocoa, just like get into the snuggly vibes and then be ready to be emotionally devastated.
Yeah.
Prepared, you know, that's what the holiday season is all about, guys.
You go unprepared and it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. As long as you know what you're kind of getting yourself into, like it would suck if I was like, oh, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That sounds so fun. And then,
That would suck.
That's not what I was expecting. So, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. And you know what, guys? I meant to mention this when we kicked off, but this is technically our Thanksgiving episode. Not on theme, but I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of Thanksgiving theme in this movie. You should be thankful just about your life every day.
Be grateful.
Because you never know what can happen. Exactly. And segue, you should give your thanks to us in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I think that would be so nice for the holiday season. You can also leave us 5 stars on Spotify, and you can follow us on social media at Why the Flick on Instagram, TikTok, and Letterboxd. And with that, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you on the next flick. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.